We hear so much from the Gospels and from the epistles in Christian churches that sometimes when we come to the Hebrew Scriptures, to the Old Testament, with all the strange names of the books there, that they're just even stranger to us. So I wanted to give you a sense of what the book of Deuteronomy is about before you hear from it today. It is the fifth book in the Torah, the first the five books of Moses, and its primary concern is maintaining the covenant relationship between God and God's people, Israel, through the rule of faith and law in community. It's the narrative of Moses handing down this rule of faith and law just before the people enter the promised land. And Moses has been told by God that he will die before that and will not get to enter with them, so he gives them a long treatise of what they are to expect and how they are to behave. Though all of these laws in the book of Deuteronomy are attributed to Moses, they were really written down generations, centuries after the people actually entered the promised land. So what you are going to hear is not a list of things that you need to learn to do. What we will hear is practiced faith. These are laws that the people have been living before they were even written down. So hear with me today this reading from Deuteronomy 26, and imagine you are standing at the brink of a hill with the people of Israel looking down into this new land.
When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle into it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling place for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Armenian was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God."
Thanks be to God. For those ancestors in faith that heard God's word so many centuries ago, At the beginning of the exhortations that Moses gives in Deuteronomy 8, he says to the people, remember not to forget. Remember not to forget the Lord your God. Remember to remember. And here at the end of his exhortations, he says, and how you will remember is to bring your first fruits to God in worship. As a wandering people, the people of Israel had not known a stability of worship, a stability of routine, wandering through the wilderness. We know that Moses, as their leader, had tried to set that for them in worship and in giving them the commandments from God. But, you know, as we heard Margaret talk to us about the tough life, the excruciating life of a refugee, we can imagine how it feels to be rootless and not have those things that tie us to God and to community. So these had been wandering people, and people in exile. People who were faithful some days, and then other days, not so much. I think we can relate to that. But all the less people, all the more people who had received an inheritance from God, an inheritance of this land with all its abundance, an inheritance of deliverance, of the assurance that God was always faithful to them, and that they are to share this inheritance, not just with one another, but also with the tribe of priests, the Levites, who had no land of their own to earn a living on, and with the aliens, for they had once been aliens themselves. The aliens, that word has a strange connotation in our day and age, but it was those who are not of the 12 tribes of Israel. All the people of other faiths, the immigrants, the refugees, and the people who were there in that promised land living before the Israelites came. The aliens are anyone who is a stranger to you. And the people of Israel knew what it was like to be strangers. Even after they had gone down into Egypt, they had become a great nation. Suddenly they were the aliens, the strangers, as they were oppressed by Pharaoh. And so to remember this great inheritance, they are to bring to God the first fruits of their harvest every year. Can't you see them lined up to bring those fruits? It was big baskets. I think of them as big baskets. Maybe some households couldn't afford big baskets, but they still brought their first fruits in a basket that was maybe smaller, but was abundant for their income. Lined up with baskets of wheat and barley and grapes and figs and pomegranates and olive oil and dates or honey. Those were the designated first fruits. Bringing these to worship, imagine the fragrant smell of the figs and the olive oil, taste of the dates, the pomegranates, the feel of the silky, cool grains that would run through your fingers. All of this meant to remember God's goodness, God's deliverance from oppression, God's gift of this land, the land which still belonged to God, even though they were given it to use. And what are they to do with this? They bring their baskets, they give them to the priest, they're set down before the altar of the Lord, and then can you hear them saying the creed together? It was right there in the middle of the passage. It began, a wandering Aramean was my ancestor. And it goes on to say, he went down to Egypt. He became a great nation. He was the people were oppressed, and then God delivered them, brought them through the trials of the wilderness and into this land of milk and honey. Thanks be to God. This creed and this passage of Deuteronomy is one of the very oldest pieces of liturgy in the Bible. Oldest pieces of scripture, probably said centuries before it was ever written down. It reminds me of a creed that we often say here, sometimes in worship and almost always in a service of memorial service from our brothers and sisters in the United Church of Canada. The creed that begins, "We are not alone. We live in God's world." Listening to this story this week, I was reminded of another story that I know, a harvest story from a wandering community. I'd like to share it with you and see what you think about it. Up next to this story in Deuteronomy. Once there was a tribe of people, and they had been wandering across the vast plains of their countries for many years till they found just the right valley to settle in that was full of running streams and had lands for pasture and lands for growing crops. And so they settled. And now it was, say, a generation and a half since that had happened. The old ones who had known all the wandering were beginning to die out. The next generation was coming up to take their place. And so the chief of the tribe decided there must be a celebration for all this goodness. And so drew together a council of elders, some quite elderly, some in the middle, some younger people that were coming up and making their living, and said, "We must have a feast to celebrate this goodness. And I want each one of you to bring a jug of wine. We'll pour them all into the same pot as a symbol of our community, and then we will share with all the people." And so the meeting ended. The elders dispersed, and one young man was headed home, and he kept thinking, "Well, this is all very well for people who've been storing wine for years, but I don't have very many jugs of wine. I'm not sure about this." But before he reached home, he had an idea. And so when he came into the house, he told his wife about the request for the jug of wine and his concerns. And he said to his wife, "I know what I will do. I will take my jug, and I will fill it with nice fresh water from the well. And when it is poured into the pot with all the other 9 jugs of wine, nobody will know the difference." "Ah," said his wife, "you are a very clever man." So the day of the feast arrived, and there was so much food, and people were eating and drinking and dancing and singing. And finally it came time for the ritual when everyone poured those jugs of wine, all the elders, into the same pot. And then they drew up out of that pot cups of wine for everyone and passed them around. And the people lifted them to their face. And, well, you know, like you do sometimes with wine, you take a big sniff first. Didn't quite smell like wine. And then everybody began to drink. Didn't quite taste like wine. And indeed, it was not wine. It was water. For everyone had had the same idea as the young man. A new saying arose in that tribe that day. It was, "If you want to taste wine, if you want to have wine, you must give wine." How does that community compare to the community of the Israelites bringing their first fruits? Which one would you like to live in? You know, I suppose that young man could have filled his jug halfway up with wine and then halfway up with water, but I think maybe plain water tastes better than watered down wine. What about you? Don't skimp on the wine. Bring your first fruits so that all may share in the abundance of God. So the question for us is, what are our first fruits? Not many of us are farmers. We have a few vegetable gardens, I'm sure. But what are our first fruits that we are being invited to bring to God? Well, what about that fruit of time? What is your most fruitful time of the day? Is it morning? Is it afternoon? Is it evening? I know mine is not 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That is not my most fruitful time of day. But what is your most fruitful time of day, and how can you bring the first fruits of that time to God? In prayer, in sitting, maybe, and just being in relationship, listening, through study, through reading, through silence, maybe through singing. What is your most fruitful time of day, and how can you bring the first fruits of that time every day to God? And what about those talents that God has given you? God has given each one of us unique gifts that make us unique in God's image. How can you bring the first fruits of those to God? Well, obviously, through service. And we are always inviting you into service in some way or another here at Plymouth. And I know that many of you are involved in organizations outside of Plymouth that do so much good in the world, and in fact change the world in ways that God would want it to be changed, for justice and love. And yet, as you think about bringing your first fruits of service, of time, of talent, of talent and gifts, I'd like for you first to consider Plymouth. Because Plymouth is the community whose mission statement is to worship God and to make God's realm visible in the world. This is the only organization, community that you belong to that has a mission statement like that, to make God's realm visible, tangible in the world. How will you bring your first fruits of talents, of gifts, to this community to do that within our doors, ministering with one another, teaching our children, our youth, but also in the ways we work here to go outside the doors, to become, as Hal always says, an outpost for the kingdom of God here in Fort Collins? How will you bring your first fruits of service? And then how will you bring your first fruits of financial resources? Very much what the Israelites were doing, because their financial resources were right there in their basket in their harvest, were they not? Have you ever considered thinking about, have you ever considered making that automatic withdrawal that is your pledge or your offering the first one to go out every month or every 2 weeks or how often you do it? Or that check that you write for your offering or for your pledge, is that the first one you write when you pay your bills? Maybe kind of a picky thing for a pastor to ask you to do. But I ask you to think about it because it sets an intention for how you will use all of your resources and how you will use your time and how you will bring the first fruits of your service here to make God's realm visible. Don't skimp on the wine. Bring your first fruits. You know, Jesus was a man of Jewish faith. He was steeped in the scriptures. So I wonder if when he was teaching his disciples and teaching the crowds that followed him, he had these commandments from Deuteronomy in the back of his head or deep down in his heart. If this passage was of first fruits was echoing within him as he said to those who followed him, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You each have treasures of time, talent, and financial resources. What will you bring as your first fruits to remember that we are not alone? We live in God's world. Amen.